Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning until noon on Saturday, November the 2nd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2013 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 2nd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Let Jesus speak now in the worlds of politics, business, arts, science, technology, and social media.
You treat your pastor the way you would treat Jesus. You make his life miserable, don't think it's because you love Jesus. You make your pastor's life miserable, it's because you hate God.
Nowhere does the Bible teach that being a Christian means that your sinful desires go away.
Did God really forgive my sins when the pastor pronounced me forgiven, when the water of baptism was poured on to me, when I ate Jesus' body and blood in the Lord's Supper? I didn't see any forgiveness of sins, but I trust the promise.
Western New York State Independent Baptist pastors love Issues, etc.
According to the headline, the American Academy of Pediatrics Committee on Adolescence, that would be teenagers in common parlance, they think that teenagers ought to be encouraged to abstain from sexual behavior, but they should also have access to cheap condoms. That's what the pediatricians in America, at least the American Academy of Pediatrics, has to say lately. Is that recommendation based upon the best information? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will be our guest to react to the recommendation from the American Academy of Pediatrics recently in the news. A little bit later, Dr. Victor Raj joins us. The Hindu world is celebrating at this time of the year a sacrament. That's what they refer to it as, a sacrament called Upanayanam. It involves young boys. It involves thread, it involves fire, and it involves ritual washing that is said to be a rebirth for these young Hindu men. Does it have anything to do with Christian baptism? Dr. Victor Raj will join us to answer that question a little bit later in the program. Then in hour two of Issues, Etc., part three of our series on the formula of Concord with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House, we are up to the subject of free will. He says that on this subject, all of the Reformation hangs in the balance. We'll find out what that means in hour two of Issues, Etc. Join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
This recommendation from the American Academy of Pediatrics, it seems pretty tame by today's standards, but they simply say teens need access to cheap or free contraception to protect them from disease and to act as birth control. Are they making this recommendation based on the best information?
Well, honestly, it's a very selective reading of the information. You know, they're talking about how, you know, if we could just get the teens to use condoms more often, they would prevent the spread of STDs and prevent pregnancy. But if you look more closely at the studies that they cite, you know, you'll see that their main concern, I think, is with controlling the spread of STDs because they notice that if somebody's already using hormonal contraception, if somebody's already in a good relationship, they are less likely to use condoms. And so they're trying to talk the kids into using condoms even in those situations where the pregnancy is either an okay outcome or where they're not going to get pregnant anyway because they're on the pill or something. So it looks like this is an attempt to, number one, deal with STDs more than anything else. But I'm sorry to say, also, I think it's part of an effort to make sure that the connection between sex and babies is even further diminished than it is in the culture already. This is another piece, in my opinion, another piece of propaganda by the sexual revolution.
What we hear from the advocates of this, and this comes from a Reuters story, Amy Bleakley, who studies teen sexual behavior and reproductive health at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. She says getting over the perception that giving condoms out will make kids have sex is a real barrier for parents and for school administrators. Is that just a perception?
Well, I don't think it is just a perception. You know, I mean, I think, if you're giving out condoms for free, you're sending the message that that having sex is a perfectly acceptable recreational activity, even if at the same time you're telling them, abstain, you should abstain, you should abstain. But if you can't, by the way, here's a condom, you know, kind of a thing. And so if you convey the message that sex is a recreational activity, there are no moral constraints on what you do or don't do. There's no sense of right or wrong about what you're allowed to do and not do. If that's your overall message, then you've got to provide contraception to back that story up, right? And in the end, you've got to provide abortion to back that story up because babies keep popping out. You know, if you have sex often enough, you're going to have babies. So that's the philosophical problem with what they're doing. But even at the level of the numbers, Todd, I found some things that were troubling to me.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, they talk about at one point in the I skipped over the story. You know, I looked at that Reuters story and I skipped over that and went straight to the American Academy of Pediatrics report. And you know, I'm sure there are sophisticated and intelligent people involved in writing a report like that. But you know, there was a passage in there where they're talking about the fact that condom use among seniors in high school is even less than condom use among sophomores in high school. And you look at that and you go, well, why is that? And then you look at one of their charts that they put out, and you look at that the continuation rate, the so-called continuation rate of using any particular method, many of these methods, less than 50%, people don't continue using these methods. Well, what's that about? People have tried contraception, and they don't like it. They don't want to use it. They're not using it because they don't want to, either because it interferes with the spontaneity of the act or it interferes with the pleasure of the act, or they don't want a barrier between themselves and their partners. You know, these teenagers are acting in a way their hearts are telling them that you want to do what the church is telling you, which is don't have sex and don't contracept. Only have sex when you're ready to have a baby. That's the way to do it. That's how people's behavior, that's what people's behavior is revealing, is that that's what they want to do, you know. And yet these adults, sophisticated, intelligent, educated adults, keep coming back to the point of if we could just talk them into it a little bit more, if we could just educate them a little bit more, then we would get a higher uptake rate and a more consistent use of condoms. And I just think there's no reason to believe that's the case. You might be able to tweak it a little bit, but the idea that you're going to talk teenagers into using condoms every single time, I just don't think that's realistic at all. You know, so it's actually kind of funny in a way that people like us get called unrealistic because we think people should wait until they're married to have sex, but they're promoting something that's extremely unrealistic.
What do you make of the accessibility angle of this particular issue? And that is, it's assumed that parents aren't going to be of much help here, that doctors ought to have these things readily available to kids apart from their parents' permission, and that schools ought to make them readily available as well. What are your concerns there?
Well, you know, look, it's pretty clear that you're trying to sidestep the authority of the parents there, you know. And why public health people should be wanting to sidestep the authority of the parents, that's not obviously why that's a good idea. And indeed, elsewhere in the report, Todd, they talk about how important it is that parents talk to the kids, you know, and that parents being engaged with the kids is always a good thing. And of course, that's true. That's the deepest part of what's true. So the strategy that they have, you know, seems to be self-contradictory. You know, the idea that kids will use it if you just tell them to do it enough, they go so far into here as to even say, quote-unquote, condom promotion campaigns that include linking condom use to enhanced sensitivity and sensuality, and thus a more positive experience as a motivating factor, have found increased uptake of condoms and safer sex behaviors, close quote. So in other words, if you just tell people that it's more sexy if you use a condom, then that will improve matters. And you have to ask yourself, why do you have to go through a campaign like this? You know, there's so many steps removed from the thing that you really wanted to be talking about, you know. And besides, the real issue is how can you get teenagers to use it every single time? I mean, I saw a study from 2010 that showed if you look at the most highly educated students, the most highly educated young adults, and you ask what percentage of them use some form of contraception every single time, among the highly educated, it is just 55% will use contraception every single time. When you get lower down the educational ladder and ask the same question, it is less than 20% of young adults use contraception every single time. So if that's the case, I think you can be pretty sure that if you continue to promote the idea of sex as an entitlement, sex as a recreational activity, you're going to end up with a lot of babies that people didn't necessarily plan on, right? Because people simply are not using contraception routinely at every single time. Even the most educated are not using it every single time. So the whole ideology of sterile sex simply doesn't work.
One last question for you with about 30 seconds. You mentioned at the outset that your bigger concern here, your overriding concern for this and other issues, is the separation of the sexual act from the procreation of children. Why should that remain constantly in view for those who are concerned about these kind of social issues?
Well, because it's the truth. I mean, sex does make babies. And if you have enough sex, sooner or later, you're going to have babies. You know, so to try to build a whole society around the idea that it's possible to separate sex from babies is to basically try to build a lie. And if you look at the numbers that they're reporting of failure rates, the numbers that they report as failure rates have nothing to do with adolescence. They're generalized numbers that add in the behavior of middle-aged married people and young poor teenagers, and then they come up with a number and says they're saying that there's an 18% failure rate for condoms. Wait a second, that's not the number that we should be caring about. And the fact that they're continuing to promote that type of stuff, I think, tells you that we know something is missing here, that the people doing this are aware that they're not given the full story, because it's just not possible to create a world where sex does not make babies.
Folks, you can read Jennifer's recent blog post about this story at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for the Ruth Institute blog there. Jennifer, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. When we come back, there's a Hindu practice with young men, a passage, a rite of passage, a rebirth, they say, called Upanayanam. We'll find out what it is with Dr. Victor Raj.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.